The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to the Soulful Valley Podcast, now globally ranked and listened to in more than 30 countries worldwide. If you're a regular listener, thank you for listening and supporting this podcast. If you're new here and don't know me yet, I'm your host, Katie Carey, a disabled entrepreneur, independent publisher of books that matter, and an international best-selling author, and of course, the host of this globally ranked podcast. I help metaphysical coaches and healers gain confidence, clarity, raise their visibility and their credibility, giving them the opportunity to shine their light brighter so that the people they are here to serve can find them. I do this by creating opportunities for them to become best-selling authors in my multi-author and solo book projects. I also offer one-to-one mentorship services to help spiritual business owners find and unlock their limiting beliefs. In this podcast, I'll be sharing wisdom from myself, coaches, authors, and energy healers that could be just what you need to transform your life today. You can connect with me via the Contact Katie button at my website at www.soulfulvalley.com. Following the incredible success of our recent book launch with Evolving on Purpose, Mindful Ancestors Paving the Way for Future Generations, which you can now buy on Amazon, wherever you live, becoming an international bestseller in 6 countries, Soulful Valley are launching another important book collaboration for 2022. Entangled No More, Women Who Broke Free from Toxic Relationships, Building Their Own Empires, is a book to help educate people around the subject of toxic relationships. We will be sharing stories about how we healed beyond toxic relationships in romantic relationships with family members, bosses, friends, the toxic relationship with money, and the most important of all, the toxic relationship with the self. If you are a holistic coach or healer who would like to join us in this book collaboration and become a best-selling author, you can find more by visiting soulfulvalley.com and click on the page Entangled No More.
Gotta love yourself with all your heart. If you don't already, it's time to start. 'Cause nothing's gonna work out until you do.
Sonia Weyers is a Gestalt therapist and your happiness guide. Her mission and purpose are to guide you to be your genuine self, unapologetically, so that you can finally experience your true happiness. It is her own journey and the expertise she gained from it that she now puts at your service to save you the time and livelihood of the search. Hello and welcome to the Soulful Valley Podcast, Sonia.
Hello, Katie. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I've been really super impressed with everything you've done recently.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's great to finally get in here with you. I know we've tried before and things have come up to stop that, but it is what it's meant to be. And we're here today for a reason. So can you share with our listeners what it is that you do in the world?
Yeah, so I've come to call myself your happiness guide. Now, I didn't get there. You know, it was quite a journey to get there. But so I do a couple of different things. I'm a Gestalt therapist. So I see people, individuals, adults and couples, basically, a lot online now since lockdown and also when people call me from far away. So that's one angle of what I do. And the other angle of what I do is I have a whole funnel, if you will, of personal development things that where I help people to be their genuine self unapologetically so that they can finally experience their true happiness.
And that's so important, isn't it? Happiness, being happy with your life. So how did you get there then? What was that journey towards happiness like for you?
Yeah, so it started, you know, I've been a very fortunate human being in that that made it actually in some ways harder that, you know, my parents loved me. They wanted to have me. We had no material strife particularly. But there was something really amiss in my relationship with my mother that had me grow up not really knowing who I was, feeling like I couldn't be loved. Now, I came to understand much later that my mom, you know, loved me the way she could, as they usually do. But it, for many years of, you know, my childhood, like from age 10 until many years of therapy, that I struggled with the implications of that. So, you know, the love that I wanted to get from my mom and to everyone I encountered, like, you know, in those days, I might be looking for you to love me the way I wanted to be loved by my mom, right? That can't work,
totally,
right?
I get that. I'm the little girl who was performing for people to get the applause when I was 5 years old. I totally understand that. So I was out there seeking love from everybody else because I didn't experience it at home. So yeah, totally understand that.
Yeah, and it's like from the outside, it was almost invisible, but from the inside, it was like really an invisible trauma. And so it took me really a lot of grit, really, to find the light, because but there was also some guilt there. You know, what am I complaining about? Like, I've got, you know, everything except not, right? So I've had a total of about 15 years of therapy since, you know, in the last 30. I'm not as young as I think. 30 some years.
Soon disappears, doesn't it?
So, you know, 15 years of therapy, different types of therapy, different, you know, periods. No, it wasn't continuous, but, you know, continuous growth process, during which also when I was young, because I didn't really know, you know, who I was, what I wanted, what I liked. So what I was good at was encouraged. And I was good in school. I was good at math. And so I went and studied engineering and I got a master's in statistics and I got a PhD in business, where I wrote a thesis in mathematical economics. By the time I got to that last part, I was, you know, I'd started going to therapy. And so I kind of, you know, peeled all that off like an identity that there was a casting error, you know.
Yeah.
I started having kids. At that time, you know, at some point I decided what was really important. I wanted to change the world. And the way I was going to change the world is by having kids and raising them so that they would kind of, you know, carry a sort of ripple effect of making the world a better place. I had that idealistic view when I was, you know, whatever, 25, 26, when I had my first baby. And then I proceeded to, you know, change, like look for what really was the right thing for me to do. And, you know, I worked with those degrees. I was a professor at a prestigious business school here in France where I lived for about 3 years. But then when I had my third child, I took a leave of absence. And when I came back, my parental leave was over, I'd actually in the meantime discovered scrapbooking. So created photo albums. And I became a scrapbooking consultant, so helping people enhance their photographic memories. Mm-hmm. And it's only really years later that I realized, or that I fully realized, how that had been kind of the premise of my activities to help people find more fulfillment in their life. Like when you see people actually making a creative photo album and enhancing their photos, like it really brings something to them. And, you know, at the time it was like a creative activity. But anyway, in there somewhere, I started training as a therapist. And so I didn't practice right away, but it was part of my journey kind of to develop, you know, early in life, my left brain was kind of too heavy. And so I kind of did creative stuff and human relations stuff and find myself kind of more balanced in the middle. Kind of thing. And then
it's the case for a lot of people, isn't it? Because we often think that the creative things are the things that we haven't got time for, mm-hmm. because we're so busy on the other side using that logical side of the brain to work and bring in the money, and we cut ourselves off from the pieces that's really what we're about, the soul, the the creative side of us. And I smiled when you said that about the photo albums, because I've just had my room decorated and I'd started a bit of a project myself with creating photo albums that of things, photo, I'd never got round to it for years and years. They were just sat in boxes with nothing done to them. So I'd started to do it. And then I realised that I had still had lots of empty albums and still lots of photos sitting there that I need to do something with. So I smiled because literally that's just happened. And you're talking about that. Just a little reminder that, yeah, I can make time for that because that's quite beneficial to me as well.
Our synchronicity here.
Yeah, definitely. And that's often the case with me.
Yep. So I, you know, I trained as a therapist, and it's when I turned 40, I was like, you know, what am I going to do when I grow up? Like, I'm almost grown up, you know? So that's when I started actually practicing. And then in the recent years, I thought it's when I came across the opportunity to write a book, and I wrote this book about happiness. So Happiness Now, A Guide to Journey. I wrote it in English and in French.
Oh, awesome.
Then, you know, I'm a curious mind, so I'm always looking for I'm just interested in lots of different things. And so I kind of got interested in growing, you know, and having more of a business side of things, of, you know, reaching people further than just my therapy practice that's local, or that was local at the beginning anyway. So that's how I got into all this kind of more personal development, quote unquote, for the masses.
Yeah. And the great thing about that is, as well, is that in your local area, there aren't so many people on the same wavelength as you either. So you end up finding that there are a lot of people that think the way we do, that create the way we do, that want to have or make an impact on the world in a bigger way, not just through our children, maybe. But that's quite an important topic, I think, at the moment as well, because the world needs a bit more happiness. We need a bit more joy, don't we?
Yeah. So you say happiness and joy. That it brings me to, you know, a distinction I like to make, that, you know, people ask me what's happiness like, or happiness is not possible. Like, you can't always be happy. And, you know, I'm really about the happiness that's about peace, meaning, and joy. So the right mix. People ask me what does happiness mean? So this is how I define it, if you will. It's that for each person, it's their mix of peace, meaning, and joy. So, you know, some joy, some peace, because if you're like stressed out or overwhelmed or what, then that's, you know, not a great way to, or if you have conflict with people around you, or people not even not around you, you know, conflict. And then meaning, to do something that, you know, drives you, that, you know, makes you want to start your day, or that makes you happy that you had that day to live in the evening. Yeah, for me. And I'm much more on the side of peace and meaning than joy per se. You know, I like a good joke, but I'm not searching for joy particularly.
Yeah, and for me with joy, it's not necessarily about things that make me laugh. It's about things that light me up, that might just be even little things. Like, I like to light up my candles in the evening and I feel good. It makes me feel happy. Especially when you're on your own, I think it's important to set up your surroundings at home in a way that makes you feel happy and not irritated. So you can find joy, can't you, in just the tiniest of things, and appreciating little things as well. Have you got any tips for people that might help them get a bit closer to finding their happiness and their joy without, because often as well, we fix this to something externally, don't we? That exactly. Other people can make us happy, but that's not the case, is it?
Mm. Yeah. So, you know, I don't have any quick tips, although if you're, you know, I have quick, how do I want to say? So quick tips that will kind of get the edge off of unpleasant situations. I can, you know, there's like all sorts of breathing exercises, but one deep breath, that's if you put your finger on your diaphragm and you breathe in, to feel that you're pushing against, sorry, your finger on your diaphragm underneath the bone that's there. I can't remember. And you inhale, so as to push on your finger. So that forces you to have a deep breath, right? Mm. So if you do three deep breaths like that, that's going to, you know, take things or take the tension down a notch. So that's one tip I can give. I'm not a big quick tip person. Like, I like to go deep into what's the issue that's causing all that. But so in the medium tip, if you want, I would say, you know, take a good look at your relationships, and like, what are the relationships that you have that feel, you know, supportive, empowering, where sharing is fluid, or, you know, and which are the ones that make you more tense or where there's more conflict, and kind of take a real good look at that. And it's just the same way you say, we tend to look outside for happiness. We also, in conflict, we also tend to look outside, like what the other person did to me, right? And so if you're brave enough, if you're brave enough, take a look at what you might be contributing to that situation.
Yeah, and it usually does come from you.
Well, some of it, right? I mean, it's co-created, yeah. Right? Any relationship that's difficult is necessarily by design co-created, but it's hard to look at, you know, your own role in things. And just, yeah, so that's kind of a medium tip, but it's already for, you know, not for the faint of heart, as it were.
You've got to be ready to look at yourself, haven't you? You've got to be ready to want the awareness to make the shifts.
Oh yeah, that's, yeah, like I can't do anything for anyone who's not ready to look at themselves.
No.
You might find someone else who can do that, but not me.
And maybe a big tip would be to read your book. I'm quite keen to look at that.
You can read my book, but yeah, you can certainly read my book. It's available on Amazon, and if you want a signed copy, and you want to pay for shipping, I'll send it to you signed.
Cool. A question that I like to ask my guests that I've been asking in this series is, what advice would you give to your 20-year-old self?
My 20-year-old self, you know, I would, my 20-year-old self spent a lot of time wondering what's wrong with me. Like, and so the sooner you can get rid of that, the better. Now, it's not that easy, and especially not easy when you're 20. But like, no matter what your life so far has led you to believe, there's actually nothing wrong with you. There's something maybe wrong with the adjustment between you and your environment, but there's actually nothing wrong with you. I could have told her that and she could have heard it.
That's it, isn't it, as well? You can tell people things, but they're not necessarily ready to hear it. But I think sometimes as well, it's more helpful when we do things and embody things ourselves, and then the people around us can see us change. I found that with my children, who are all in their 20s now, that their perspectives have changed along with mine. I don't need to tell them anything anymore. We have conversations that are really deep that they bring, they start these days. So eventually, I guess we all get there when we're supposed to.
Yeah. So, you know, you asked me that question, so that's what I answer. Same time, I'm just really at a point, but it's having gone through the journey that allows that, but I'm really at the point that I really feel in my bones and in my blood, you know, that it's the journey that has made me who I am today.
Yeah. And I feel that now as well. Even though you look back and some of the things that have happened have been really, really traumatic, I wouldn't be exactly where I am right now if I hadn't have had all of those experiences, and I wouldn't be able to understand other people that have been through them. So it's all perfect. It's all meant to be, isn't it? Do you have a favorite podcast? Are you a podcast listener in general?
I'm not a big podcast listener. A podcast that I tend to enjoy is Hal Elrod's podcast. It's called the Achieve Your Dreams podcast. So he has some really interesting guests, and you know, he's always got a lot of wisdom to impart, with the caveat that it seems to be easy for him to do some of the things he says to do. You know, you know what I mean? Like, I know for myself and for my clients, like, yeah, you say, you know, just decide that you're going to be happy. Well, yeah, that, you know, that may work today, but it didn't work for my 20-year-old self, and it doesn't work for a lot of my clients who come to see me, right? It's not
that simple. he wrote The Miracle Morning, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So The Miracle Morning for some people will be great because they enjoy doing those activities. But if you're someone that struggles with any of those activities, it's not going to bring you happiness, is it?
No, that's right. And the podcast isn't about, his book or about The Miracle Morning. Yeah. It's about, achieve your goals and living the life of your, living life to the fullest. Or
yeah,
it's about achieving your goals. So in life and business. So yeah, I enjoy that podcast when I do listen to a podcast.
And Sonia, where can our listeners find you if they want to come and connect with you?
So they can find me. I have a website that's Eudokima, so eudokima.com, and then put /en for English because it's bilingual. Yes, I do everything in French and in English.
Okay.
English and in French.
And I'll put those links in the show notes as well.
And I can give you a page with I created a menu page that has a freebie and it has my free resources like interviews I've been on or blog articles, and then another section about the services I offer, so I can send.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that with us. I'm sure that our listeners will appreciate that.
And then I'm also on the social networks, right? I'm soniawires.eudokima on Instagram, and then somehow eudokima.soniawires on my Facebook page.
In all the places.
Yeah, and also LinkedIn.
Thank you so much for your time today. It's been great to meet you finally.
Yep. Thank you, Katie.
Bye for now.
Bye for now. So ask yourself, is this for me? Give yourself some boundaries. Learn to
trust your intuition now. Thanks for listening to the Soulful Valley podcast. I trust that you will have heard something today that you were ready to hear, and that it's made you feel a little lighter, more aligned and connected with your soul's purpose, and you have been reminded of who you really are and the true nature of the power that you hold within you. My aim for this podcast is to bring love, light, wisdom, raise consciousness and ease suffering. If you've enjoyed the show, go back and listen to some of the back catalogue of previous episodes. Subscribe, follow, rate and review, so that you're notified when new episodes drop in, and share this podcast with anyone that you think it may help to listen to. You can connect with me at soulfulvalley.com, and if you scroll to the bottom of the website, there are links to my social media platforms.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.